little book in the Old Testament, Ruth chapter 2. Let's dig right in. There was a relative of Naomi's, that's Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter, go, Ruth." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And the reapers answered him and said, "The Lord bless you, Boaz." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this? Who's that young lady?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said to Boaz, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, Ruth said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to Boaz, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law Naomi since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then Ruth said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Ruth, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back for later. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean among even the sheaves, even what you're gathering, and do not reproach her. So also let the grain from the bundles fall purposefully. Drop it in front of her and leave it, that she may glean and pick it up, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about 30 pounds of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law Naomi saw what she had gleaned, and she was shocked. So she brought out and gave her even what she had back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law Naomi said to Ruth, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked in the field of Boaz, and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her, "Daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man Boaz is a relation, a close relative of ours, one of our close relatives." Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful love story that is in your family tree. Lord, we are so thankful that you can reveal your heart, your love, your truth, your character in the different ways that Boaz, Lord, treats Ruth, and the way his redeeming love reaches out to Ruth and blesses Ruth. And today, on Resurrection Sunday, we remember your redeeming love, that you've bought us with a price, that you love us and care for us, and that you're a gentleman, you're kind, you provide for us, you take care of us, you watch over and protect us, Lord, just like Boaz does with Ruth. you do with us. And we want to just celebrate you in this little passage today as we study the character of Boaz and really see him as just a shadow and a type of Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, for who you are, your character, your love, your kindness, your gentleness, and that you redeemed us, Lord, not with land or money, Lord, but with your own blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Ruth's a love story driven by tragedy and redemption. This book starts with famine and funerals, very sad, very tragic, but it ends with marriage and new life. The three main characters are Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. Now, we need to know a little bit about them to know how wonderful this is. So let's look at the main characters. And of course, we can't forget about the most important character, God. So let's look at all these characters right now. Naomi, she was the wife of Elimelech and the mother of Mahlon and Chilion, her two sons. She was a member of Judah's tribe, and they had a little famine in their land, and they decided to head on out to Moab. So the family left. While they were there, her two sons married two Moabite women, and sadly, her husband died. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies. Mahlon and Chilion die, leaving all of the women widows. Once Naomi comes back, she comes back to the land of Israel with Ruth and Ruth only. She comes back, and as all of her friends meet her, they say, "Oh, Naomi," which her name means pleasant. And she corrects everyone and says, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. Call me miserable. For she said, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty." God lets Naomi rant and rave and rail against him. He's not afraid of it because God is gracious and long-suffering, but God, who is in charge of this whole situation, he has the last word, and he proves that his kindness, his graciousness, his generosity, and his blessings always outweigh any of our bad ideas. Ruth, who is she? She's a Moabitess from Moab. She's a foreigner. The Moabites were worshipers of false gods and idol worshipers. They were not known for their good behavior. Ruth's a foreigner, but she decides to follow her mother-in-law, surrender her life to God, the God of Israel, the God of Naomi's people. She surrenders to God and becomes a believer in God. And she gives one of the greatest speeches and makes a covenant with God and Naomi. She says to Naomi, "Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die." It's such a beautiful and moving moment. Wow. What a special person Ruth is. Ruth is a new believer. She trusts God and is committed to follow God and not turn away from God. She turns away from all of her false gods and idols and follows the true and the living God. I love that about Ruth. Finally, Boaz. He is big, strong, and powerful. His name means powerful. His name means strength. God is my strength. He's an ancient ancestor of Jesus. He's wealthy. He's a landowner. He is single. And he's available, and he owns lots of land, and he's also incredibly strong. By the way, one of the two pillars of Solomon's temple, after Solomon builds the temple, he names one of them after his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Boaz. So, he's a pretty tough dude. You don't get a pillar named after you for nothing. And of course, there's the Lord, God Almighty. He's mentioned in this small book of only four chapters, God is mentioned 22 different times in the book of Ruth. Some scholars say that he's not mentioned much, and he seems curiously absent in this story. I couldn't disagree more. God is constantly working and always moving all the pieces around for his good work and for our salvation in the future, not only in the book of Ruth, but in all of our lives. We need to remember that God is always working behind the scenes in quiet, unseen ways. He's the ultimate networker, and he will have his will and his way. We see glimpses and glimmers of his mighty works, but we never know the extent of God's amazing work. But here we get a little glimpse in this small book. Let's dig in to this chapter and notice some simple things about Boaz's character that we can celebrate. Shadows and types of Jesus. They whisper the character of Jesus. Now, God has already set Ruth and Naomi up for survival by his word. God is always providing, taking care of, and watching over us through his word, and he does it with Naomi and Ruth. He already set things up for them for this famine and for such a time as this. In Leviticus 32, God commanded all the people of Israel that followed him to leave the corners of their land unharvested. Leave them open. Also, you only go through your field once. That's it. You can't go through a bunch of times and gather every last piece of grain. Go through once and leave the other pieces for all the poor and needy so they can go back and glean. Gleaning is just simply going through the field and picking up all the leftovers, all the things that are there for you to make an honest, hard-working wage to survive, to help your family live through famine and drought. It was God's provision. God's always providing for his people. And also, God not only provided a way to feed Naomi and Ruth, but he provided a way for Ruth to be redeemed and find a husband in Boaz. In Deuteronomy 25, it says this, verse 5, if brothers dwell together, they live around each other, and one of them dies and has no son, no heir, and the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother, the closest relative, shall go and marry her and take her as wife, and provide for her a son so that she can be provided for and have her land and be taken care of and really redeem her. That means buy her back, pay the price, set things right. That's what Jesus does for each and every one of us. The most amazing thing about all this is that God was thinking about them even when he placed these provisions and these scriptures in the Old Testament. I love that about God. He's the ultimate networker. Ruth, I love that it says this, just so happened to come into the field belonging to Boaz. This is a little tongue-in-cheek humor, of course, because there is no accidents in God's kingdom. And whenever God is working, God's perfect will, in God's perfect will, there's nothing, and I mean nothing, that is an accident that is good in our lives. It's from the Lord. God sustains what he wants and gives people a push in the right direction without ever interfering with their free will. God wants you to know this. And how come it's an act of God, I always wonder, whenever something bad happens? Giant storm hits, act of God. Giant locusts hit the land and eat everything, act of God. Hey, I just won the lottery. What luck. Oh, it's lucky, it's wonderful. It's terrible. People always do this all the time. They never give God any credit. They always put all the blame and all the bad upon the Lord and lay it at the feet of the Lord. But God, luck does not exist. God's will be done. God exists, and the Bible teaches that he's all-powerful, and he's always planning good for his children, and God led Ruth to Boaz's field. Now, Boaz is a man of integrity. He has godly character. We know this because he comes all the way from Bethlehem into his fields. He could be sitting back relaxing, watching some TV shows, eating some popcorn, but he's not. He comes out to his fields through the whole harvest, and he lets his shadow fall on the fields. Aristotle once said, the best fertilizer for a field to help it grow is the heel of the farmer. It's equally true in all the different ways that people have businesses, that the best businesses are ones where the people who own them are walking through, checking, looking over, and making sure everything's going well. Boaz is like a CEO of multiple businesses. And he's found, where is he found? Chilling out in his office, hanging out, doing whatever he wants on the golf course? No, he's in the fields and meeting face to face with the reapers, not just the leaders and the overseers. He meets with the everyday people. He meets with everybody who's out sweating, working hard. I like him already. Boaz is like Jesus. Jesus was always found among all the common people. And I love that about Jesus. Makes me feel right at home with Jesus as a common person. But Boaz isn't just a good boss, a kind boss, a protective boss. Boaz is a godly boss. Can you imagine walking through an office and you hear this going on, the same speech that's given from Boaz as he walks through and he says things like, the Lord be with you to all of his employees. And all the employees answer back from the field. And the Lord bless you, Boaz. Can you imagine walking through offices? People are popping out of cubicles as your boss walks through and says, the Lord be with you. And you guys are like, hey, the Lord be with you. God bless you. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Everybody's singing and dancing. It's like a musical in the office. That's what's happening in the fields of Boaz. God is glorified. The simple moment recorded in God's word gives a ton of information regarding the character of Boaz. In one snapshot, we know that Boaz is a man of integrity. He's a hard worker. He cares about his employees. He checks on them and he blesses them. And he knows where all of his blessings come from, where all of his food comes from, where all of his success comes from. It comes from the Lord. Boaz takes notice of Ruth. He pays attention. He sees a new person in the field, a different look to her, a foreigner. Who's this? Please notice how respectful Boaz. He says, whose young woman is this? Who does this woman belong to? Then he discovers Ruth's backstory, and he asks his foreman, hey, what's going on? What's her story? Boaz wants to know who's in his field, who they are, what kind of influence they're bringing into his field. He cares. Once he finds out who Ruth is, Boaz doesn't send someone else to talk to her. He walks over to her himself. Once he finds out who Ruth is, he comes right over to her. Can you imagine a first impression? First impressions are super important. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. The old saying goes, well, you can imagine. Poor Ruth. She's there. And you've got to wonder what Ruth must have thought as Boaz started walking up. You know, he starts coming up to her all rich and powerful and humble, but he's well-dressed, no doubt. And she might have been scared that he'd kick her out or afraid that she'd be reprimanded and sent home for being a foreigner in his fields. How does she feel as he comes up to her, as she's all sweaty and grimy, her hair's all messed up, and she's got dirt smeared on her face and dirty hands, no cuticles left because of the dirt under her fingernails of picking up everything? She's sweaty because reaping is hard work. It's just one short move away from a burpee. If you're a CrossFitter, it's a nightmare. You're sweating to death. Can you imagine how sweaty she must have been after 5 or 6 hours of reaping from early morning till afternoon? Ruth must have been tore up from the floor up. She must not have looked her best. And no one would want anyone to take a profile pic looking like that. Dirty, messy, haggard, looking terrible. You know, nobody wants that. Can you imagine somebody taking a picture of Ruth and then putting it up on her profile? What a catch. You can have this impoverished, homeless, ex-idol worshiping Moabite woman who's widowed and in great need. And as a bonus, yes, if you act today and marry her, you can get a bitter mother-in-law too, who grumbles and gripes and tells you how terrible God's been to her. Do you want to get married, Boaz? No, that's what would be normally said. But no, that doesn't happen. Boaz comes up to her and he's such a gentleman. Wow, what does he call her? Hey, you. Hey, woman. Hey, good looking. No, he doesn't do that. Boaz is respectful. He's a gentleman just like Jesus, and he calls her daughter. I like that. That is so amazing. He positions himself as a father figure to Ruth. He expresses his humble and innocent concern and care for her by calling her daughter. God's heart is clearly on display in this moment. Boaz doesn't leverage his position for power or money or authority over Ruth, but instead, he does what all godly men and women need to do with their power, their resources, their authority. What does Jesus do as he came to serve and bless and watch over all of us? What did he do when he came down to earth? And what does he do to this day as he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven? He seeks to serve and bless and protect and to watch over without any ulterior motives and without asking anything in return. I like Boaz because he's a shadow of Christ who finds us in the fields of this weary world that we're working in this weary life, in this dusty field, scrimping and pulling apart whatever life we can scrape together. And he calls us sons and daughters and invites us to glean in his good fields and his fields only. Now, Boaz also makes time to protect her and to look out for Ruth by telling her not to go into the other fields and not to glean anywhere else. Now, Ruth, she's starving. She's trying to gather as much as she can. She's getting just enough to survive because if you're gleaning in a field, you're not getting massive amounts of food. In fact, the 30 pounds she leaves with is a miracle. It's obviously given to her by God through Boaz. So she would be tempted to go into as many fields as possible to get enough food to survive. Boaz knew about the other masters and the other fields. He knew about the other men. He knew about their character, and he knew how dangerous it was for women to be out alone without any protection, without any shield, and without anyone to look after them. Because this was the time of the judges, when there was such speed and violence in the land that anything could happen to anyone. The only hope you had was tribal leaders that looked after you, or your husband, or your father. Ruth has none of the above. She is only watched over by God's grace through Boaz. And that's powerful. Boaz takes time to watch over her and protect her. He stands in the place of a father, of a husband, of a protector. He is strong and wise. His name means strength, just like Jesus. Boaz stands in the gap for Ruth and gives her counsel, guidance, direction, and instruction through his words. Boaz is a shadow and a type of Jesus because Jesus guides, directs, instructs, and leads us through his word, the Bible. God guides us, directs us, and shows us how to live our lives, how to think, how to act, how to treat other people, how to engage with him on a daily basis in a relationship. Because after all, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Boaz serves Ruth with a plan. Now, Boaz had a good group of hardworking women, and he told them to look after Ruth. And Boaz says to his young men, he says, hey, watch over her. He tells her, have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? Boaz was strong, powerful. Remember his name. His name means strength. You don't get a pillar named after you for nothing. Not for somebody who bench presses 25 pounds. No, he would have been a strong man, a powerful man, a man of authority. And when he spoke, people listened. When one or two of those main pillars in the temple are named after you, you're tough. He says, no one touch this woman. Don't bother her. Don't harass her or reprimand her, even if she's around you and working around you. She is under my protection and in my field. And you, all of you, will look after her and serve her. Give her water. Take care of her needs. The men respected Boaz. They said, all right, boss, we'll do what you say. Because he's a man that had power and authority over men. He was tough. One pastor, in unpacking this passage, mentioned that we need to be like Boaz, but really more importantly, we need to be like Jesus. Jesus was both tough and tender. Remember how tough Jesus was? He put together a cord of ropes and made a whip out of them, and he whipped people right out of the temple. He was tough, he was strong, but he was also super tender. In that same moment, he opened up the cages and gently grabbed the doves and the pigeons and all those things, the doves, and let them out of their cages. He was tough and tender. Men, God wants us to be tough and tender, as one pastor once said. Tough for our wives to protect them, and tender towards our wives to love them and watch over them and nurture them. Tough for them, tender towards them. I like Boaz. Boaz is a beautiful example of God's grace. God's grace is, of course, getting what we don't deserve. Grace always exceeds and hyperabounds the law. And we see this happening in Boaz. The law of God said, the poor may reap in the outskirts, leave the outside of your field, and only go through once. They may reap there and scrape a living together and feed themselves. That way they don't grow hungry. They can do that. But God's grace is fulfilled from the prayer that God had Boaz pray over Ruth. Please notice in chapter 2 that Boaz says this, the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord your God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Jesus used this same analogy when he came into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he saw, Jesus was expressing his tender heart of love and compassion to the people of Israel when he said in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, and you were not willing. God's heart is, of course, revealed in Boaz's prayer over Ruth. You come under God's wing by believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's a very beautiful picture. Boaz understands the heart of God and the protective strength of God. You may wonder, is there room for me under God's wing? Is there room for you? The answer is yes, because the word of God says clearly, for God so loved the whole world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever, that's everybody, who believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. You see, God's wing, so to speak, is open to all. And God wants you to know this. If you seek refuge, God is willing to have you come under his wing and be protected and loved and gathered and watched over and shielded by him. There is room for you today under the mighty wing of God, our Redeemer, of Jesus Christ, his Son. Boaz watches Ruth from a distance and he sees her working super hard. He now has his eye on this woman, And his respect grows exponentially as he sees her working the field. Every tiny piece of grain, think about that. Think about how hungry you have to be. You can't let one piece of grain escape because that means that you're one grain further away from starvation. So she's down picking up and grasping and gleaning every single piece of grain, working super hard. Now, he watches her work until lunch, and then he reveals another aspect of God's heart. Boaz is generous, just like God. He's generous. He invites her, this foreign woman, to come and eat with him at his table. This is a great honor, with his people and all of his workers, and become part of the family that he has now turned into her bodyguards. He takes all the workers and says, you know what? I'm going to turn you into her bodyguards. God's grace is amazing here. She goes from impoverished, starving, gleaning widow to highly favored guest in one afternoon. That's God's grace. That's God's goodness. He invites her to eat at his table. Boaz lets Ruth even dip her bread in the vinegar. Vinegar and bread, so good. Oil and vinegar, my favorite. Vinegar that she hasn't probably tasted in a very, very long time. What a treat, what a blessing. Boaz settles anyone's wrong thinking too, or prejudice, or disrespectful attitude towards Ruth by giving her a place of honor at the table, sharing his meal with her. Do you think anyone said, who does she think she is? Where is she from? What is she doing here? Why is she eating with us? Who does this Moabite think she is eating with us? Nope. Who Boaz honors, everyone of his servants honor too. As they eat, this may very well have been the first full meal that Ruth has had in months. She doesn't think of herself, though. This is a lovely picture that happens here. Ruth's heart is revealed in what she holds back for Naomi. She could have eaten all the grain and bread and dipped it all and eaten it all herself. No one would have known. But she takes some of the extra food, and Boaz watches her, and he sees her put it away, and he knows where it's going. It's not just for her, it's for Naomi. She's thinking of others. She's generous even when she's starving. She's generous even when she's hungry. And she's thinking of others. And guess who notices? Boaz. There's a privilege in helping others when they're in need the most. You see, a godly man and woman, they're paying attention to the details. They're looking at the kind of clothes people are wearing, not to judge them or look down on them. Shame on anybody who does that. That's disgusting. But God bless the man and woman who look not to compare or think they're better than anyone else, but to look and say, I've noticed their shoes are really run down and they're not fitting quite right. And their pants are a little higher because they can't afford them. I'm gonna get those people some new clothes. I'm gonna provide some new shoes. I'm going to bless that family. I'm going to watch out for them. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to care for them. That's the kind of heart that God has. And we need those kinds of hearts now. It's a great joy and a privilege to give. Jesus said it best, Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You don't need to have some deep philosophical reason why it's more blessed to give than to receive, or have somebody do a study and prove it. In God's economy, it's far better to be generous and be like a river pouring out everything that comes your way that God has given you, knowing that it's given to you to bless others and to take care of others. It's far more wonderful and blessed to give than to receive, than to be someone who is a dam that holds everything back for yourself. Be rivers out there, Christians, because Jesus, he gave away all. He gave away everything, even his own life on the cross. Even his own blood shed for us. There was nothing Jesus held back for us. We can afford to be generous like Boaz. There's something beautiful about a person who keeps the needs of others present at all times when they're not present. Boaz notices and he takes action. He doesn't just notice, that's one thing. To go, oh, I think I should do this, but no, he takes action. He realizes she's in great need. So he tells his young men, look, hey, you know how I told you how you can't touch her and to watch over her and protect her, not to bother her? Yeah, boss, we know that. Well, good. Well, I want you to, as you're gleaning and working hard and the sheaves that you're bringing in and all your hard work, I want you to take some of your hard work that you're doing and I want you to just pull it out and drop it for her right in her way. Make sure that it's in her path, that she's going to find it, and make sure to drop it. Oh, and also, let those stalks fall, drop it out. Also, let her grab some of the grain too from any of the stalks and any of the other places. Let her get whatever she wants. Grace upon grace upon grace is revealed through the heart of Boaz. This powerful, rich, wonderful man is being generous. And I think that is noteworthy in the life of Boaz because it certainly is seen through the entire life of Christ. Boaz is like Jesus. Please notice that the prayers of each of the three main characters are answered by the end of the book of Ruth. Look through. Whenever Ruth prays and makes her covenant with God, she talks about sticking around with Naomi. She does all the way to the end. Naomi prays that her daughters-in-law in chapter 1 would find rest in their husbands' houses, not even knowing where it was going. Well, Ruth is about to find rest in the house of Boaz. God answers this prayer by inspiring Boaz to redeem Ruth, to marry Ruth, to love Ruth. Boaz prays that God would fully reward Ruth. Look at his prayer in chapter 2. God's working through all the prayers of Ruth. If you tie all of the end of Ruth, you can tie a string to it and follow it all the way back to every single prayer and everything that was asked from God. And mentioned, God was mentioned, God heard, God answered, and it's beautiful. God answers this prayer by inspiring Boaz to marry Ruth. Boaz prays this wonderful prayer over Ruth to say, Ruth, I hope that you're fully rewarded for your kindness to Naomi. He wound up being the answer to that prayer. God provides blessings, redemption, provision, honor, and glory to Ruth. You see, Ruth started off scrimping together a living, hoping to get just enough grain to stave off and push off starvation one day at a time. The field that she begins being a poor, penniless widow in, she winds up owning as the woman and the lady who now owns all this stuff along with her husband. And all those workers that became the people who looked after and dropped grain, she became the boss's wife. Now she's looking after them and their families. It's beautiful. God's amazing. This whole story is a beautiful love story. The marriage of Ruth and Boaz, it culminates with the birth of a son named Obed, which is short for Obadiah, which means worshiper, worshiper of God. And I love that because when God's Redeemer and the redeemed, Boaz and Ruth, get together, the product is a son of worship. And when God the Redeemer, Jesus, and us, you and I, as the redeemed get together, the product is worship. We worship just like all of our friends up here worship. Whenever we worship the Lord, you worship at home. We're all worshiping our God together. Just like Ruth and Boaz produced worship, we produce worship in the face of our Redeemer. I love that about our Redeemer. Now, Obed, he's the father of a man named Jesse, who's then the father of a man named King David. And of course, David, his line follows all the way down to finally Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our King, our Boaz that redeems all of us. Now, this is a story, really, of every one of us who are believers, who have surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus takes all the sin, death, poverty, and tragedy of our lives and the separation between God and mankind. And through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, he redeems us. He pays for our sins with his precious blood. He rescues us from our sin, from death, from hell. And this is a day to celebrate that. Resurrection Sunday. This is when he did it. And this is when it all comes to light. He saves us and takes us under his wing so we can have a relationship with him for eternity. Our great King, our great Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who we get to worship forever. Now I close with this. Jesus is our Redeemer because the Word of God beautifully records these few verses. I just want to read you two verses and we'll close. It says this in Galatians 3, 13 through 14. This is how we know Jesus is our Redeemer, one of the many ways. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Ruth was a Gentile. She was an outsider, and she was saved by Boaz, a Jew. We, many of us, not all of us, but many of us are Gentiles. We're not Jewish, and we're saved by our Jewish Boaz, namely Jesus. The second verse is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed, bought back and paid for with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That's who we are redeemed by. That's what we are redeemed with. And on this Easter Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday, let us remember our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who is the greater than Boaz, and who has taken us under his wing, who guides us with his word, who provides for all of our needs, who has rescued us from sin and death and hell, and brought us into a worshipful relationship and a joyful relationship with him for eternity. Let's pray, and then we'll worship the Lord with one last song. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all the wonderful ways that we can see you revealed in the lives and the character of so many. Thank you for Boaz, Lord, who you've put in the Bible for us to look at, to see your family tree, to look at and stand in awe of your goodness, your grace pouring through him, Lord, your servant. But thank you more importantly for your son Jesus, Father. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our family Redeemer, who came in when all was lost and all was hopeless and saved each and every one of us by shedding his precious blood on that cross, dying, being buried for those 3 days and rising again. And today we celebrate your resurrection, you coming back to life. And we thank you, God, that you're alive forevermore. We praise you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike?